Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You feel God in the house? God is here. His anointing is here. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your presence here today, your anointing being upon us. We're here for you. We're here, Lord, because you are God. You are Lord over our lives. And we worship you for who you are. We praise you for all that you've done in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in our lives. We receive everything about you, everything. You are holy in every way. And we grab a hold of that presence and we say thank you for your tangible anointing being here, your presence being in here, you moving in our midst. And we're so grateful, Jesus. We thank you. We honor you. Have your way today.
Yes.
Just have your way. We just turn this service over to you and say, Jesus, you just have your way in every way and in everyone, every manner, every realm of life. We just give it all to you, holding nothing back and reserving nothing. We just lay it all at your feet. We humble ourselves in your divine presence. It's my God. Our God, you visit your people. Oh, we thank you. I call every person here blessed. I call them healed. I call them whole. I say that their ears are open to hear you, to hear your word. Their hearts are wide open to you like a wide avenue. We say that the door to our hearts is just, it's thrown so wide open right now that there is no hindrance. May every thought, every worldly thought, every thought of everything that's come up against us today or all week long, or what we're about to face, may that fade away in your divine presence, so that we make a way for you to have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, as your pastor said, you know, I happen to be Maria's husband, Bill.
Yep.
This is my beautiful wife, Maria. You want to stand up and wave and say hello? All right, yep, this is her. 38 years. And I have it on good authority that she re-signed the contract this January, and she's going to keep me for one more year. And we just go year by year, and that's okay. That's just the way we do things. Amen, and it works. Because we're still here. We're still serving God, and we're still marching forward. It was God that put us together. And God knows exactly and precisely what he's doing all the time. I think sometimes we forget about that. In a way of introduction, I've been in full-time ministry since 1990. We joined Living Word International, Mark Barkley Ministries, in 1987. So we've been serving in ministry for a long time. We both work at Mark Barkley Ministries. She is the director of the Bible school. I'm the administrator, one of the managers on staff. And in 1995, we started a ministry called Heaven and Earth Ministries. And we do a lot of different things in that. One of the things that we do is we travel and we help churches, both with their legalities, leadership, organization, management, whatever we can get ourselves into, that's what we do. So we're kind of a multifaceted ministry. I am fully in love with Jesus. I'm more in love with Jesus today than I ever have been in my entire life. God is my sole reason for breathing. I think there comes a state in your life when you reach that point where it's all about him and it stops being all about us. So look to your neighbor, look him right in the eye and just say, it's not all about you. So there. Okay.
Maria got a revelation.
I teased Maria because the first time we heard that song, you remember the hymn that says it's all about you? She thought they were singing about her. So,
you're so bad.
Okay. I am bad. But I enjoy myself. Amen?
Amen.
I'm the quiet one. She's my lively side. I did want to mention, though, that one of the reasons that I'm here is we did a board meeting for this church, for your pastors, and I want to congratulate them. One of the things that I do and one of my expertises is in the church governments, church, especially in dealing with the government and our governing documents and corporate paperwork and all of that. And you are, as of yesterday, at the top of the line as far as you can get in accuracy and preciseness. And that's a great thing for a church. Every church that we've helped do this for and been involved in and been privileged to participate in grows. Amen. So I'm pronouncing growth over you. Yes. I'm pronouncing that people are going to find a good thing. Yes. And they're going to come, and you might as well get yourself ready to embrace them. Some of them are going to be the best looking people you've ever seen. Amen. We're here to change the world, not let the world change us. So as they come in, then you want to be the leaven. You want to be the ones that are touching them. You're the ones that have to help them learn and touch them and anoint them and to care for them and believe them through their bad habits. Amen. So that, I believe, and I'll predict that's going to happen to you. I always like to start my messages. I'm a teacher. You'll find that out very quickly. I do have a message for you today called Decisions Determine Destiny. It's one of the things that we're known for. I believe it's one of the basic foundational Bible truths. And I'm going to try to prove it to you today, get you involved in it. And hopefully in some way God will touch you and help strengthen and fortify your life and bring it to another level. But I always like to start out by talking big about God. You okay with that?
Yes.
Any note takers in the house?
Amen.
Okay, all right, here we go. You ready? God functions by pure truth and perfect knowledge and never lowers himself to an opinion. I might as well just start right out by offending somebody. Your opinion doesn't count. Sorry. He always sees things exactly the way they are and never functions with less than precise truth. That's the God that we serve. Oh, his character is flawless, his motives are pure, his ethics are above reproach, and his principles are virtuous and righteous. God is limitless. He is infinitely wise. He never makes a mistake. He never has to change his mind because he's never wrong. That's the God that we serve. Amen. And by the way, I'll throw this in at no, it's extra. I'll throw it in at no charge. Are you ready?
Ready.
The moment that you think that God thinks like man thinks, you thought wrong. Okay. I heard that you're a well-trained church. And if that's true, I'm going to test you right now. You ready? Let's see how quickly you can find Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. I think you all beat me there, but somebody told me one time it's in the beginning. Many times I go back to the book of beginnings to lay a foundation for what I believe, the things that I write, and I believe it's a good place to start because it happens to be in good authority. That's where God started. Amen. Remember, the message today is decisions determine destiny. I'm going to tell you how it came to be because it'll mean a little bit. I share testimonies as I go, if that's all right. I have a good friend, Pastor Ray Hodges-Stelianos, White Plains, New York. Many, many years ago, we were walking on a mall together, and we were just talking about ministry. And how many of you know when you're walking with people fell of like precious faith, if you're talking about Jesus, guess who shows up?
Hallelujah.
Jesus shows up. I can still remember where I was at in the mall. I was just rounding a corner. We were leaving, and we were rounding the corner by the coffee shop, and we were headed out through the food court, and that's where we were parked. And I love the smell of coffee more than I like the taste, but that's what got me is I'm smelling coffee as I'm going by and trying to decide if I really want one or, you know, it's kind of getting my attention. And Pastor Ray turns to me and he asked me a question by the Holy Ghost. He said, Bill, if you could teach a young person one thing and one thing only, what would you teach them? I went into definite search mode. Here's the man of God. He's expecting an answer from me, and I don't have one. So I'm reaching down in my spirit. I'm pulling all over the place. All of a sudden, I got a hold of something from the Holy Ghost. And I opened my mouth, and this is what came out. I said, I would teach them how to make a quality decision based on a righteous standard. If you give me that opportunity, I can change their life forever. And that was, this message was born at that time that turned into be decisions determine destiny. Amen? Did you find Genesis 1:1 yet? Okay. What's the first four words? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, it was God, not man, who set things in order. It was God who set things up the way He set them up. He set His kingdom up in the beginning the way He wanted it to be. And He's perfect. He's infinitely wise. So when He did it, it was absolutely perfect in the day that He created it. And man had no part of it. So I have a question for you. How is it that man today wants to keep telling God how God should function when God is the one who put everything in order in the first place? Man can have all the kinds of opinions he wants, but I'm serving the one who knows absolutely everything. He is flawless in everything that he does. He ever has a problem knowing what he wants. He knows how to do it, when to do it, who to do it with. He can create anything. He's still the creator. He's still God. He still sits on his throne today, and he's not moving over for you. Amen. Me either. He's still God. He always has been God. But it's so important for you to understand the message today, to understand how you were created. So in the beginning, God created. And as it goes on down, you know the creation story, so I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. But I want to go to Genesis 1. Let's go to verse 26. It says, then God said, who said? God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. In 28, God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. And as you go on to find out, you're going to, this is why it's so important. In the beginning, God made a decision to take the earth which was void and without form. It was chaos. And he decided to do something with it. Notice the terms. He made a decision. He decided to do something with it. God is a decision maker. And everything was perfect as he was doing it. And then everything that he created was in divine order. I like to tell people, you understand that God never created a need. It was in such order that he always created the fulfillment before he created the need. Created the grass before animals that needed the grass. You see, we underestimate the power of God and the divine wisdom of God. He's here today to work in you, that same God in the beginning. Everything that he created for man. But it's the only creation that he made in his own likeness and his own image. Some people have a hard concept getting a hold of who God is. He's God the Father. He's God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. I said, why do you have such a hard time with that? Who are you? You're a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. So two-thirds of you is invisible. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's not a hard concept. Here's what God did. He said, instead of just speaking it into existence, God took something that he had already made. And he brought it together and formed it into a body. So there's a difference in the way he made you. You're the highest form of creation on the planet. It said he formed it. He formed us so intricately, so completely, that scientists are still trying to figure it out after thousands and thousands of years. They can't figure out how God did it. Let me help you with something. They're going to clone a human? Forget it. There are no gods. There's only one true and living God, and he is the everlasting King. He is Jehovah. So now he's got this body formed. He had to touch it to form it. He formed it. He put it together. And then he did something that I'll never forget. Now, the Bible says he breathed into Adam, the body. I don't know if, does God really breathe? I don't know. Can't quite figure that one out. But here's what he did do. God took something in himself, from himself, from the supreme being, and he put it in this body that he had formed. And it became a living soul. Perfect. Just like God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look a lot like God. But in so doing, my friends, there's a reason I'm going down this path, because I want you to understand that in so doing, he created a decision-making machine. Because God is, now you are, and you can't help yourself. Everything in life requires a human to make a decision. The greatest thing that God ever gave you was human agency. You know what that means? Every move you make makes a difference, because it's operating out of your God-given right to have dominion and to make a decision. Do you realize that you can't even follow God unless you make a decision to yield to him and follow him? All right, some of you are all looking pretty good, but some of you are looking a little skeptical, so let's take a test. You want to do this? All right, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., no decisions for 8 hours. What happened? Why are you laughing at me? You can't do it. It's impossible, because if you make a decision not to make a decision, you've already made a decision. Listen, you make a decision. What you're going to have a cup of coffee in the morning, what you're going to eat for breakfast, what clothes you're going to put on, you know, whether you're going to brush your teeth or not. We all hope you take care of yourself and hygiene before you come to church. But it's all a series of decisions. I've learned something by living with Maria for 38 years. It takes her a lot longer to decide what she's going to wear than it does for me. I'm a guy. I'm a country boy. I get clothes on. I'm covered. I'm good. She might change her clothes 3 times before she's satisfied with what she's got on. The end result is, you're beautiful, honey. That was a good choice. Amen. And I know she's a good decision maker. After all, she married me. Amen. Every decision that you make impacts your life. And that's why, if I can teach a person, any age, any one thing, it's what I'd be teaching you today. Learn to be a God-ordained decision maker and understand that it's on purpose. God did it on purpose. It wasn't by accident. I would say one of the greatest decisions I ever made in my life. I joke around and tell people, you know, I started my ministry in a funeral home where most people end theirs. But it is true. My grandfather, whom I loved, he was a big man in my life. And just physically, he was a big man. But, you know, he was a big man being that I was a grandson, and I respected him so. And he would teach me things. He came through the Depression, so he'd teach me how to saw a board. He said, now listen to me, son. He said, even during a depression, somebody needs a door hung. You learn how to be a carpenter, you'll always have something to do. You can always provide for yourself. That was the old-time thinking, that you just be good at something and people will use you. He taught me how to trout fish. My fondest memories are walking in trout streams in northern Michigan. Beautiful, beautiful land, beautiful waters, and just walking with my grandpa catching trout. It was a beautiful time of my life. And now he died. I'm in my 20s and my grandfather died. And I'm at the funeral home and there's this body laying in, don't mind to be rude, but there's a corpse laying in a coffin. But I could not find any love for that. I kept thinking to myself, my grandpa, that's not, he's not there. I know it's his body laying there, but I'm not feeling anything. And that really bothered me. And in those days, it was a three-day event. So the third day, we're sitting in the chapel at the funeral home, and there's a preacher saying something. And I want you to understand something. Lost people who are on their way to hell, I'd never been to church. Unless it was for a funeral or something like that. I didn't know anything. I didn't know God. I knew country living. I knew hunting and fishing, riding horses, and drinking and smoking. And whatever else could come along, I was really good at it. I was one good redneck, you know. And so that's kind of where I was coming from. But now I'm feeling something's wrong here. I'm sitting beside my mother. It was her father. So I'm sitting beside her, and I'm holding her right hand with my left hand like this. And, you know, I'm really, really troubled now because Mama's crying. And I can't do anything to help her. I was totally helpless. Until I did this on the inside. I never opened my mouth, Pastor. Just in here. I said, God, I don't even know if you exist. But if you do, would you help my mama? Power of God hit me right here. Flowed up my right arm like electricity. Come across my chest. Flowed down my left arm. I don't know why he did that. I guess just to demonstrate. But when that electric, that power, that surge of anointing going through my body touched her hand, she stopped crying and never shed another tear. Say, what happened? I said, this is what happened. I didn't know if God existed, but I was like Peter standing in the boat, and Jesus was out on the water. And Peter, in his rash self, said, hey, if that's you, bid me come. I thought, what else is Jesus going to say? But come. And for me, I had no motive whatsoever other than I was just being honest with him. I don't know if you do. But if you do, so it wasn't a challenge to God. It was an offer to God. If you do. And he went like this. He went out and pulled your left hand up. He went like, just
hand my left.
Yeah, he touched me right there. I said, I don't know if you exist. And he said, I do. Mm-hmm. And changed my life. In the heartbeat of time. Quicker than a split second. I went from lost and going to hell to transformed in my spirit and headed for heaven. In a heartbeat. Because I didn't know. Do you know that there's a lot of people in the world, in this community right here, that were just like I was. They're waiting for an experience. You know you could be their answer. A lot of them are wondering. A lot of them are hoping that what you're doing is true. They're looking and watching you. I worked in the corporation for 25 years. And for 25 years, people watched all the time. I'd go to lunch with some of them. They'd buy a beer and set it in front of me. When I went to the restroom, washed my hands, I come back and there's a beer sitting there. I said, what'd you do? I said, I just gently push it away. They just wanted to see if I'd fall for it. I was such a bad drinker that when I was in my late teens, I would black out for hours. Be on my feet. I could be miles from where I started from. Couldn't remember a thing. I scared myself so bad one day because I thought I killed somebody. Because back then, honestly, I was capable of that. Scared myself so bad that I stopped without any help of anybody. That's it. I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. But I met God in a funeral home. He showed up. He's been with me ever since. I have a promise from him. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. God's on my side. Amen? You have to listen to me. Here's the default. You got to get this from the book of Genesis all the way to maps. For some reason, it's always the default is negative. You can't change it. Hell is a person's destiny unless they choose heaven. You can't follow God unless you choose to follow God. One day I was rolling out of bed in the morning, and before my feet hit the floor, God's voice said, when you make a decision of your own free will to follow me, you, William Bailey, give me, God, the liberty to lead you. It works for all of us. It works for you. He can't move on your behalf unless you make a decision to allow him to move on your behalf. It's way too easy for us to leave God out of our lives and out of our decisions. You have to choose to include him or you automatically exclude him. In the few minutes that we have left, let's talk about depth perception for a moment. How the decisions that we make today affect us long term. So since how we started in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, let's just talk about Adam and Eve, whom when I get to heaven, I want to have a good long talk with. Amen? Because I wonder why they were, it says that they walked in the cool of the garden with God. You know, the God who created everything, who made everything for them, and then he set them in the middle of it and said, here, you tend it and keep it. You take care of it. That's what I'm talking about. It was the perfect place. It was the utopia of God. And then along come this unauthorized leader, the devil. And he began to talk to them. And for some reason, they decided to listen to him. Now, wait a minute. When you're walking in the cool of the garden with God, and you know God's voice, and you know that's God, later on they said, we heard your voice. We knew it was you coming, God. Why didn't they turn to God and say, God, what do you think about what this serpent's saying here? What do you think about what he's saying about the fruit and the tree and the knowledge of good and evil? And God would have straightened their string and told them what to do and what not to do. He would have reminded them of what his will was. But in their opinion, they saw that it was good and desirable, and in their own agency, they decided to partake of it. It's called the fall of man, caused by a decision that is still affecting us today. You talk about depth perception. From the Garden of Eden until this day, that decision haunts us. Amen? Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn to all these verses. But in the book of Luke, you remember, you know, Mary. Now, can you imagine? I don't know. Maybe Maria could. I don't know. Can you imagine being a woman, a young woman, a virgin? And this angel shows up? And he's going to ask you to do something that's never been done before. Listen to me. If you listen to my voice and listen to what God's telling you, he will lead you into doing some things that's never been done before, and it's going to advance the kingdom of God right here in this church. I prophesy that over you. Just listen to him. Listen to that voice and just obey him. And what did Mary do? She took all this in and processed it inside of her. Wonderful, wonderful answer she gave. So be it to me according to your word. It had to take a decision from a human being to allow God to plant that seed that turned out, of course, to be our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. God couldn't get it done without a human making a decision to obey Him and to do it. And He can't get done in your life what He wants to get done unless you will allow Him and say, "So be it to me according to your word." You still with me?
Yeah.
Amen. What about Jesus? So we've got Him born now of a virgin, and He grows up. And who is He? We all say He's the Son of God, but maybe I have a little different way of saying it, because He was all God. He was God in a human body. We don't have three gods, by the way. We have one. And I know you're well taught here. So we got Jesus, God in a body. But what about the Garden of Gethsemane? You know where I'm going, don't you? When was the last time, ladies and gentlemen, that you sweat blood over a decision? Jesus' human side said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass by me." Because He was God. He had perfect knowledge of what was going to happen to His body. But He loved you so much. He looked down through all the eons of time and He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. And He said, "For you, I'll do it. For you, I'll do it." And that decision is still with us today. And it's still changing our life today. It's still setting a pattern for us today. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's go to the book of Jonah. I'll step on a few toes here, but I'll do it as skillfully as I can without hurting you too much. Book of Jonah, if you can't find it, go to Matthew and back up 35 pages. That's Jonah. Okay, if somebody's there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So very simply, we have Jonah here who is he walks with God. He knows the voice of God because he just heard what God said. And God said, "I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to, you know, go on His behalf." But here's the problem. The Ninevites were long-standing enemies of Israel. Jonah was well aware of their attacks against his people. He found it difficult that God would offer these Gentiles mercy when they deserved severe judgment. They were bad people. But Jonah knew the character of God. I could preach the whole chapter, but I won't. But it's just this. He knew the character of God, and he knew what God was up to. And he said, "I'm not doing it, God." So he separated himself from God. And he made a decision not to obey God. God was asking him to go over here and do the work of ministry. Jonah went down and paid good money to get on a ship to go that way, to run away from God. He was going the other direction. Now the problem is that God wasn't going to let him get away with that. So in his journey, you all know the problem, right? They got in a big storm. The storm was beating vehemently against the ship. And even the sailors, the mariners that with them began to realize somebody on this ship is doing something wrong because this has to be God. So they ended up, and Jonah says, "Oh, it's me. Go ahead, throw me overboard." Just because you admit you're wrong doesn't mean you've repented. He hadn't repented yet. He did get thrown over, but God saved him with a great fish, right? Now, if you go and look at chapter 3 in the beginning, we'll go through this whole thing really quickly, but this is what happened. It says that God came to him the second time. And what did God tell him? The same thing he told him the first time. Why is it that people think that God's going to change his mind because they throw a hissy fit? I'm talking about us. God tells us to do something, we're really quick to give him our opinion. God doesn't care about your opinion. He said, Jonah, just obey me and it's going to be all right, son. What happens? I see a lot of people in the body of Christ today as we travel around and talk to people that really have to stop. They're in dire straits, and some of them just need to cry out from the belly of the whale. God, forgive me. Forgive me for trying to disobey you. Forgive me from separating myself from you. Forgive me for running away from your presence and not wanting to do what you've called me to do. So many people find themselves in that same place all the time. Decisions determine your destiny. Now, some people make decisions that I don't understand. They may be good decisions, but I'm going to tell you about my mama for a moment. I just feel impressed to tell you about mama. My mama was a woman that fought disease for 16 years. She was a great lady, Christian lady. She had a tough life, but she always loved people. And she was in the hospital one time for 9 months straight. And I was standing in the hallway of the hospital in Midland, and three doctors came up to me and said, Mr. Bailey, your mama won't make it till morning. She was so swelled up with fluid that they had given her so many pain shots, like hundreds. Every place that she received a pain shot was leaking fluid out of her body. And I decided that night I'm going to stay with her. And as I did, you know, trying to do the best I could with what I knew, but I couldn't turn that thing around. And three times that night, she stopped breathing. You know, she'd stop, and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. Mama's leaving. And she'd take a deep breath, and she'd start breathing again. The third time she did that, her frail little lips were trying to form words, and I put my ear right up to her lips, and she said, can you hear the music, the beautiful music? And that moment, ladies and gentlemen, this is the power of decision. She started to get better. I mean, she only had a few hours left to live, according to the doctors. But she started getting better at that point in time when she heard the beautiful music. And she came back, and she lived for 3 years. To everybody's amazement. And I said, Mama, what happened? She said, I talked to Jesus. She was out of her body. She stood at heaven's gate talking to Jesus. And she could see behind him, she could see her father. That's my grandfather at whose funeral I met God. And she asked Jesus, she said, would it be okay if I stayed to see three things happen? And he said, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have that kind of fortitude. I've already told people, if I die, woe be to you if you raise me from the dead. Some of my hunting buddies, I tell them, I'm out here in the woods and I die, woe be to you if you raise me from the dead. You better be a long ways away. I will hunt you down. But for some reason, Mama, because she so loved, she loved me and she loved her grandson. She wanted to see three things happen. When those three things happened, she died and went to heaven. One is she wanted to see her grandson live to be 16 years old. He turned 16 in September and she died in January the following year. She wanted to see me happily married. God brought Maria into my life, and I'd always wanted a daughter, and Maria came with a daughter, just a little one. And I had my daughter, I had my wife, and I had my son, and Mama said, I'm out of here. And she left. The power of decision. My grandmother was 94 years old. And she was having some struggles, but she was not sick unto death. I went to visit her one night at 10 o'clock at night. And she looked up at me and she said, you know, I'm just tired of this. I said, well, Grandma, you know how Christians die. She looked at me like, I don't think I understand. I said, well, they just very peaceably fall asleep. They stop breathing. They wake up in heaven. 4 hours later, I got a phone call. 4 hours later, I said, what happened? They said, we don't know. Grandma was so peaceful, she went to sleep and she stopped breathing. How can I can't, but by God, by the Holy Ghost, impress upon you the importance of waking up every day, knowing who you are in Christ, yielding yourself to Him, and making the right decisions. Learn to make quality decisions based on a righteous standard. Your life will improve. I predict this church is going to grow as a result of it. I'm not lost at words. God is anointing you. I believe He's anointing you right now to be the light. There are people lost and dying out there. It's a world, and many of them, they don't know what to do. We live our lives, we walk about, we're thinking, you know, it's so easy for us to rush through this life without paying attention to the Holy Ghost. Every day you have to make that decision. God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear your voice. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And you have to do it every single day and be ready. I talked to a young man yesterday in a restaurant. I'll tell you a story of a guy in Midland. I'm going to close with this. The reason I'm telling you is because God wants to use you wherever you happen to be. I was in Bennigan's in Midland, eating my lunch, minding my own business. And this waiter was waiting on us, and he was a very articulate young man. You could tell he was very educated and very precise with his words. So I get this nudge on the inside. I say, young man, I read his tag, called him by name. How are you? Manny. I said, Manny? It's obvious you're a very well-educated young man. I want to compliment you. You're very, the way you speak, the way you carry yourself, it's obviously you're very educated, and I appreciate that. He said, well, thank you, sir. And then he waited on you to come back, and I said, so, Manny, I said, where do you go to church? He said, well, I'm not right now, but he said, I you know, and he was complimented, so he was willing to speak. So he said, well, I don't go to church right now. I used to go to my mom and dad's church, but he said, you know, I kind of been looking around and trying to find out things about God. And he said, well, and they're very proud of himself. I've been all over the world studying the religions of the world. I said, okay, here's my open door right now. I say, so Manny, what'd you find out? He said, I found out there really is a higher power. Before I could even think about what I was doing, my right hand reached out, grabbed him just like this, and I put the grip on him. You know what that means? I could put you to the floor with that grip. And he's like, you know, I got him now, right? And I looked him right in the eyes. I said, I know him. Would you like me to introduce you to him? He said, you know who? I said, the higher power. I know him. I got a guy with me. This guy is about to freak out. He said, you're gonna get the police in here in a minute. But I looked at Manny. I said, Manny, you've been running from God and you're away from church and you need to get back to church. And you need to listen to the true and living God. And I had to let him go because I didn't have my meal yet and I was hungry. But Manny came back. He wanted a little bit more. And finally, he knelt down on his knees beside the table. And he says, why are you talking to me this way? I said, because God is telling me that you're running out of time. Now is your opportunity. You've got to do it now. Don't wait any longer. I don't know why, but God is telling me. You got your opportunity right here, Manny. You better obey it. Now, whether he did or not, I can't tell you. I hope he did. God just used me as an instrument that day to jar this young man to realize that somebody on this planet knew the true and living God. And he is the higher power. He lives on the inside of you. Amen? And he wants to use you in this community. He wants to use you to touch people. Amen? Glory to God. Straight up noon. Love you guys. You've been great to preach to. Let's just one more time, just give the Lord praise for his presence. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, I'm going to leave it at this. I'll pray over every one of you. Your walk with God, may it increase and continue to increase. May you absorb the anointing that's here today. May you carry it with you. May you never lose it. May you just continue on your race to serve the true and living God. Amen. Maria and I love you. Thank you again for being such great hosts and for having us here. And may we be able to visit again. Until then, we just call you abundantly blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.